Morning, church. If you turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. We're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18 this morning. This morning, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. This is what Scripture says. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy. We thank you for answering our prayers. God, we are blessed. We are very fortunate, more than others, Lord, who have been displaced, lost loved ones, lost everything. And God, I pray that as we as a church, as we are now faced with the responsibility and the call to be salt and light the earth in our very own communities, may we be obedient to your call. May we share your great love to our friends, to our neighbors, to our community and city. We love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen. This past week, for my family, is really a week we will never forget. It's our first hurricane in Texas, and as we watched the news and saw Hurricane Harvey make landfall, we began to really get worried and just saw the massive destruction it had in the Gulf of Texas. And really, we felt helpless in many ways. And so we were praying for the people in the Gulf Coast and the people that were affected by the hurricane. Then we saw the projection of how much rain that was going to be dropped and how long Hurricane Harvey was going to stay. And it was several days. And really, the danger of flash flooding and tornadoes became a reality. As water began to rise in our neighborhood, soon our street became a river, to the point where we could not leave. I believe Hurricane Harvey left all of us with feelings of discomfort, fear, and despair. But God, being rich in mercy, answered our prayers. He never abandoned us in the midst of this great storm. Amen. Now, most of us are fortunate because there are many other people in our state, in our cities, that were greatly affected. Families who lost loved ones, families who've lost their belongings and their properties. And really, when compared to others in need, we at FBC are blessed. So the question for us, really, is, are we willing to help others who are less fortunate? Because if you're looking for a time, church, where there's people all around you, people in your city, in your communities that are looking for hope, are looking for help, I'm looking for community, now is the time. How can we as a church here at FPBC show God's love in action and truth? Because we could say we'll pray for them, which is good. But I think when we not only pray for our communities, but we love in action, meaning we do something about it, and in the same time we share the truth of the hope that we have, that no matter what storm we face in life, we are anchored by Christ. Amen. Though we may lose our home, our cars, everything, we know that God is with us and will never leave us or forsake us. This morning, as we look at 1 John chapter 3, 16 to 18, let's examine how even John the disciple calls us to love in action and truth. We're taking a break from our sermon series and really addressing how we as a church can respond. 1 John is written by Apostle John. If you guys know Apostle John, he's one of the 12 disciples. His brother is James. They're called James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They're one of the first disciples who Jesus called and said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And so they left everything. They even left their father to just follow Christ. And here, chapter 3 of our text is focusing on God's love for us and how great that love is. So I titled the first point is agape love. Let's read 16 of our text. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Having shown that love is the evidence of a child of God, disciple John now sets forth the example of this love. And that example of this love is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and for me. And this signifies that Christ's sacrifice is the supreme example. I'll repeat that again. It's the supreme example of what genuine love produces. It says, by this we know. John is saying, by this we know love. And he's not speaking of any kind of love. He's speaking of love, and the Greek word for the love here is agape. And that love is that he laid down his life for us. And so as we think about how we ought to love our neighbors and how we ought to respond to our communities, to families that have displaced, to families who have lost loved ones, who've lost everything, the love that I believe God is calling us to produce is this agape love. And what is agape love? It is selfless. It is sacrificial. It is unconditional love. And really, it is the highest types of love in Scripture. That is what Jesus did for us. And so, if we look at our communities, whether you're in downtown Houston, whether you're in Pearland, whether you're in your Katy, and all the places that were devastated, Dickinson, and all the cities in our great state that were devastated, I believe the response that God is calling us to produce is this agape love. And really, it begins, and we can only show this love to our neighbors, to our families, if we have experienced this agape love ourselves. Because when you look at the cross represents that agape love. The cross represents this great sacrifice that God, if you think about it, before we knew of God, we were in this great storm that we were headed toward destruction, that we were drowning in sin. We were drowning in unrighteousness. But God, being great in mercy, saw us and rescued us and sent his only son. And so when you think about this agape love, it's a type of love that is selfless, that is unconditional, that moves. And it's an action kind of love. So if we put ourselves in this situation where we see our neighbors, we see our people in our cities, shelters that need help, people that need help fixing their homes or just getting food, we have to move. We have to be selfless. We have to not think about our own well-being. Because if you think about it, we're blessed. We still have our homes. We haven't been displaced. We didn't lose a loved one. And there's people all around us that are hurting. There's people around us that's going to have to pick up the rest of the destruction in their homes, and they have to pick up everything and go through this, not just for 1 month, not just for 2 months, for years. And so as a Christian, as followers of Christ at FBC, we have to demonstrate that agape love. And for us to really understand that, we have to look at the cross and look at what Jesus did for us. If Jesus was willing to sacrifice his own life, how much more is God asking us to do that to our friends, our relatives, our brothers and sisters in Christ? We are able, again, to love in action when we do it in agape love. Because if we do it out of our own selfless interest, because we want to be glorified, we want people to know that, oh, I did this, I did that. The truth is, no matter how much you volunteer, that will only last maybe for a week or two or a month. But if we love our neighbors and support our communities, our cities with this agape love that Christ himself displayed for us, then it's a long-term type of help. It's a long-term type of love for our neighbors. Now that we have learned what love is, and that is that agape love that is displayed for us at the cross, let's look at now how we can display this in our everyday life. In 17 to 18, it says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Now, laying down life for another is a supreme example of Christ's love. And really, that's not something that's done every day. I mean, who lays down their life every day for someone, right? That's not very practical. But if you think about it, John here is really encouraging us to love others in a practical sense, in an everyday scenario that we're in. And I can't but stress the moment we have and how we ought to respond in our communities today. Because again, if we as followers of Christ do not respond, and all we do is go to our nice sanctuary and pray and not do anything else, yeah, we may give money, that's good, but if we do not go out and actually reach out to our neighbors, reach out in our communities where shelters are placed, and do not help and do not volunteer, then I believe we are missing a great opportunity that God is giving us. Yes, God is in control. Yes, God is sovereign. And I believe he brought Hurricane Harvey for a purpose and a reason. And now we have this great opportunity as followers of Christ to respond. There's a great story, if you guys remember, the story of the Samaritan. The story of the Samaritan man who helped. And there were, and in the conversation, was this man was trying to ask Jesus, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And then to the point where Jesus says to the very end, not only do you love your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, but to love your neighbor as yourself. And he responded but said, then who is my neighbor, Lester? Who is my neighbor? And then Jesus gives this amazing story about this man who was robbed, beaten half to death, and left alone in the street. And several people came along. And the only person that was willing to help was this Samaritan man. You see, church, we have been given that same opportunity. There's people all around us that have been beaten up emotionally, spiritually, physically, because they've lost so much. And there we're driving our cars and we see the destructions in our cities and we see it on the news. How are we going to respond? And here the scripture says, what does it say? It says here, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, meaning we have goods, we have blessed, we have a job, we have finances, we have a roof over our head. And most importantly, we have Christ, amen? We have Jesus Christ as our hope, as our anchor. And then he says, John says, and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. How does God's love abide in him? Really, if you think about it, if we are followers of Christ, and right in our community, in our city, we see people in need and we do not do anything. And I'm saying it's okay, it's good that we pray, but if we actually do not do something in action, how can God's love abide in us then? How? And then he continues in saying, little children, let us not love in word or talk. And the reason why John brought this up, because it is easy to love in word and talk. Am I right? Because it's easy to say, you know what? I'll pray for you. You know what? Yeah, you know, I hope you make it through. Good luck. You know, I hope you get your house back in order. You know, I hope you get through this great storm. It's easy to say things. It's easy to post something on Facebook and say, we're praying for this, Houston Strong. And I think that's good. I'm not making fun of it. But those are easy to do in talk and word. But it's so much harder to actually do it in action and in truth. Because when you are doing it in action, then you are actually getting out of your comfort zone, getting out of your own convenience, and sacrificing your day off. And I'm not telling you to quit your job and go. No, I'm telling you to set aside a time where you know you have time that's free. Where you know God has blessed you with a great job and resources where you could help your community shelter. When you could help someone that you know maybe in Dickinson or maybe in Katy and serve. And I believe when we do this, church, when we love in action and truth and not hide God's love and keep this agape love that we have experienced and been blessed with, I believe what will happen is this, that people will see Christ in action. People will see the church be the hands and feet and the mouth. And they would say, you know what? God's not dead. God didn't give up on us. He's all around us. He's serving us. He's humbling himself. And these people who I do not even know, these people that I've never met before, are loving me and sacrificing for me. And you know what will occur is this, that you will have opportunities to share your redemption story in Christ. You will have opportunities to connect with someone and build a relationship. And out of that, the seed of the gospel will be planted. And I believe out of that, you will make a disciple. You see, this is the opportunity that God has put forth for all the churches in Houston and Texas. But how will we respond? Are we going to respond the same way we always respond? In word and talk? Because we're good at that. We're good at receiving knowledge about what God calls us to do. I mean, my old professor said this before. You know, seminarians are like men and women with big heads. They walk around with all this knowledge, but they don't know how to walk because when they go out in the world and they haven't experienced real ministry, they don't know what to do. I feel it's the same way for our churches. If we continue to just receive all these great truths and challenges from God, but we don't do anything about it and we don't go out and live out our faith, then we are missing God's movement. We're missing where God is working. Because I truly believe God is moving and working right now in our great state and in our city of Houston. The truth is, I don't know why God brought Hurricane Harvey, but He has a purpose and plan. And He desires our churches to be mobilized. He desires you who maybe have never gone out to mobilize and to go and love in action and truth. In John 13:34-35, this is what Jesus told His disciples. This is what it says. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's the same, that love is the same agapao love, the word agapao. And here He says that new commandment is to love one another. And it's the same thing again as John said. It's that same type of love, that sacrificial love that Christ displayed for us at the cross. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. And I love 35. It says, by this love, all people will know that you are my disciples. You see, if we love our communities, and if we love in action and truth, people will know and see this agapao love, this unconditional, selfless love that we have experienced through Christ. And when we love in action and truth, people will know then that you are followers of Christ. You see, when we do this, people will know, church, that we truly are God's people. We are able to love others when we learn to love one another. This Sunday's message is simple. It really is. We all have experienced a horrible, difficult week. But the truth is, we're fortunate. There's others that are less fortunate. If you're here this morning, then you are blessed. God was merciful. I still have my home. I still have my car. I still have a bed to sleep in. I still have my wife and my kids. Others maybe have one thing only, maybe just their family. Maybe they lost their loved ones. Picture yourself in their shoes. Go home today and there's nothing left. Go home today and everything is gone. You have no car because it's underwater. As you picture that, wouldn't you appreciate it if your local church becomes hand and feet of Christ and they're there and saying, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? But not just praying, but how can I walk with you through this difficult time? You see, church, God is calling us to move. Not only to pray, but to move. And the bottom line is this, and as I ask the worship team to come on up, if we have God's love, if you have experienced this great, amazing love that Christ has displayed for you in the cross, and you have a new life in Christ, then we must be willing to sacrifice for people in need by loving them in action and truth. It has to be action and truth now. It can't just be talk and prayer. We must love and act in action and in truth. Let us be the type of church that loves our community. That when we speak of making disciples, when we speak about loving our neighbors as we have loved ourselves, that we not only just talk about it, we actually do it. And then people will know that we truly are followers of Christ. Let's take this time as we meditate in God's Word. If God has spoken to you, take this time to listen to the Holy Spirit's direction. And the thing is, when we do this, it is all for His glory and honor. And His name will be magnified. And His name will be known in our communities, in our streets, in our city. Let's do that now.
My life is yours, and my hope is in you only, and my heart you hold, 'cause you made this sinner holy and whole. Glory is so beautiful, I fall onto my knees in awe, and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light, 'cause your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful.
Pray. FBC, imagine if we as a church loved our communities, our city, in action and in truth. Imagine how amazing and wonderful the stories we'll experience in joining God's movement. Because again, at this moment in this time, there are thousands of people who have been affected, who are open spiritually, and wanting to know what true hope is in life, in the midst of a great storm, in the midst of devastation, in the midst of loss. If you have that hope, then have the compassion of Christ to our communities. Show that compassion. Show that love. That agapao love that is unconditional, selfless. I pray that if God is speaking to you, that you will respond. Because you know what? When Christ saw us and we were in the same boat where we were desperate, we were hopeless, we are headed towards condemnation, and really the amount of sin in our lives was drowning us, was destroying us. God reached out His hand, sent His only Son to die for you, to save us. And He didn't stop there. He gave us a new life. He gave us true hope. He gave us a foundation that is the rock, which is Christ alone, our cornerstone. And He is always there, no matter what we go through. There's so many people in our communities and our cities that are needing that truth. And you know what? Praying is good, but that doesn't go further. That doesn't help the need. We must be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We must go to where they are. Because you know what? When Jesus saw us, He didn't say, "Oh, I'll wait for you to come to me." He came to us and rescued us. And now I truly believe God is calling us at FBC to go. And go to the families, individuals that God will put in our path that desperately need of our help, of our friendship, of our encouragement, of someone to just listen and care for them. Not just for this week or this month, but long term. And I believe that happens when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray, Lord, right now as we respond to you, that you would give us the boldness and the courage and really your agape love to display in our lives this week and this month and this year.